Mahamudra Intensive, Public Talk, Karmichulin Barnett, Vermont, Kempo Sultram Gyamso Rinpoche, July 13th, 1993, Talk Number 6, Tape 1, Dolby B.
Great Vajra Dara Tila Nara Marpa Mila, Lord of Dharma Gampopa Nor of the three times omniscient Karma Paholders of the four great and eight lesser lineage, Trikun Taklan Sapa, these three glorious Drukpa and so, masters of the profound path of Mahamudra, incomparable protectors of beings, the Tapokagyu, I supplicate you, the Kakyu Gurus. I hold your lineage, grant your blessing so that I will follow your example. Revulsion is the foot of meditation, as to this meditator who is not attached to food and wealth, who cuts the ties to this life, grant your blessing so that I have no desire for honor. And in devotion is the head of meditation, as is the guru opens the gate to the treasury of oral instructions. To this meditator who continually supplicates him, grant your blessing so that genuine devotion is born in me. Awareness is the body of meditation, and whatever arises is fresh, the essence of realization. To this meditator who rests simply without altering, yet grant your blessing so that my meditation is free from conception. The essence of thoughts is Dharmakaya, as is nothing whatever, but everything arises from it. To this meditator who arises in unceasing play, grant your blessing so that I realize the inseparability of samsara and nirvana through all my births. May I be separated from the perfect guru and so enjoy the splendor of Dharma perfecting the virtues of the past and bhumis. May I speedily attain the state of Vajradhara.
The earth is perfumed with scented water and strewn with flowers, adorned with Mount Meru, the four continents, the sun and the moon. Imagining this is the Buddha realm, I offer it so that all beings may enjoy that pure realm. In accordance with the capabilities and diverse aspirations of sentient beings, I ask you to turn the wheel of Dharma of the greater, lesser, or conventional vehicles.
Ganji Dhamma Vendami Ye Sanje Ne Ono Sanje Sanje Ne Ne Mato Do Se Jingme Da Se Lan Tom Chinchi Rache Dorje Jo Na Dunga Nyuga Chon Se Je Na So Te Tar Che Ka Te Son Se Pa Jing Se Te La De Ganji Me Me Yo Me Ye Me Ma Yin Ye Me Le Yin Da Ta Gurme Ne Ng Chik Tam Da So So Rang Ke Re Je Wa Timi Yishi Vizir Nandi Mikpa Kain La Chakpa Dung Dung Rav Rav Nambar Jom Se Tam Chi Nima De La De Sim De Rang Yin Vizir Vena Nima Ngo Vo Me Se Kanda Drukin Tam Min Da Yi Yanda Don Ne Tam Che Zubu San Che Chi Chu Si Pa Tri Pa Me Pe Lo Nga Vo Sim Chi Nam Da Da Ye Yu Chi Yishi Si Nga De La De Rukha jisi zang bachin li zambi jubi chuji yinkan tam Jarbi abdo chor chan jar se zor mabhi singi tami lo dhe zor Lai ke dang la dang na jingke Tese ke sa da ke mai ki jang Mai ke da da ke chi tong
Hola so tan rova tan rova nam kan ta ta nyam pe sim chin tam je je tong do Zobh Sanji Ji Kompa Rinpoche Drupar Sa Keiche to tambechu la tsang gom som che tsang par je wo nyam pe. Sambo san ju ju to to che pa ngon to tang de san par sho.
So Rinpoche asked that before we listen to the teachings, that we generate the motivation or the great desire to attain enlightenment. And one does that for the benefit of sentient beings as vast in number as the sky is limitless in extent. And in order to do that, one vows to practice listening, reflecting, and meditating on the teachings.
Tereng dunga tongba dami som ne jartin do dikhe. Tereng ya talam.
So in the last talk on the three natures, Rinpoche spoke about the suffering in relation to the three natures. And there are actually, when you're meditating on the first noble truth, there are four different aspects to it that you use as a focus of your meditation. So the first aspect is suffering, which is all we've already covered. And today, Rinpoche will look at the next three, which are, he's already covered impermanence. And so today he will talk about the second aspect, which is suffering, the third aspect, which is emptiness, and the fourth, which is a lack of entity.
Tele ta dunga la ja so ne dunga lin dang chini dang derba yin do derba yin chi so.
So if you have these sheets, then on the first page, this section is the fifth and the sixth line, which reads, attracting suffering and the defining attributes and related, which is stated differently from the previous two. So those are the two lines that deal with suffering as it relates to the three natures.
Tele tambo kunda ni donga lemba tang. Donga lemba tsini kere. Yumzen karere sena kunda la Kunda te namdo gatak pa samre. Pakya gantruna la namdo gatak pa sam yin bese na kunda re. Kunda la ngopori hin. Kunda la denbari hin. Kunda ngu me pa la yu. Yebari hin hinba la tin te dunga mandrawa simji nam la dunga mandrawa na chopa jomese na tene ta kunta te dunga lengre dunga lembe chini ke.
So to look at the first nature, which is the imaginary or the imputed nature in relation to suffering, the root text says attracting suffering. So it's this nature that attracts suffering. And why is it that it attracts suffering? Well, this imaginary nature is merely imputed by concepts. So these concepts create delusive appearances of suffering. But they are merely imputed or designated by concepts, created by concepts, you could say. And through these concepts, we cling to the imaginary nature as some kind of a thing, that it exists as a thing. Now, a footnote here, thing in Tibetan is a technical term. And it means something that can have a function or that have an effect. So that's something to keep in mind as you hear the word thing when it comes up. So it's through clinging to the imaginary nature as an actual thing that can function and have an effect. For example, a real fire can burn. Water can get wet. But the imaginary fire can't burn and imaginary water can't get wet. So in that sense, one doesn't realize this and one clings to this imaginary nature as some kind of thing that can actually do things. And one also clings to it as being truly existent, as something actually existing out there. It doesn't have an essence, this imaginary nature, but we cling to it as existing. And because we do all of the above, sentient beings experience various kinds of suffering. And that is the reason why the imaginary nature is said to bring on or attract various kinds of suffering.
Kunda latine dunga chetale batsorne malanje pedan jarna malanda mi tsepa chui cherba datang nilatin dunga dai malantang de kongrowa soje dunga nije malantang de Nidan, dro, so dan, tarbidunga, Nila tempidunga, madava mambu in every. La sopa, dunga, madava, not sopa, chuante, tini, nama teda, namdok a patak by him, send a kundare, kundaka nama te, namla. Yemang ka nam do ke khemba la tin te tene donga leng yore donga lemba re pe te ye do na so chen de ryang tene me chpa chue cherwa da da ni na de donga la so ba donga de nam ra ma da na so ba je ba te tene kun da la den bar khemba la tin te donga ma da ba na so ba leng yore ta lemba po de yang nam do ke leng re Rama Lenya te kar lengar kunda la dembar kinde tene donga na to lengu yore.
Lempa podi nam tok
rama. Nam tok lengar ina Lenya te kunda lengar kunda la dembar kinde lengar. Marve.
Na una.
Donga gande se ne lengar da ta ko na. Na to donga mada wa na to bande. Namdo galin thogre ma to yenda su jang lin thog mare
na
to lang na to lang lin thog mare
so then how is it that we bring on various calamities to ourselves based on this imaginary or imputed nature And Rinpoche suggests that we look at this within the context of the dream. And if in a dream we are burnt by fire, or if we drowned in water, or if we undergo various sufferings based on enemies and friends that appear in this dream. For example, based on enemies, there might be a great anger that arises. And based on friends, there is the pain of separation, of having to part with them. Actually, Rinpoche says, based on friends and relatives, there are various, many various kinds of suffering that arise. And in the dream, it's very obvious that all these various sufferings that appear All these appearances of fire, water, friends, enemy, and so forth are just put out there by a concept. And that those appearances within the dream that have been set out there, projected by concepts, are the imaginary nature. And this happens because the concept, which we saw before, was really the dependent nature, and the imaginary nature is the object of that concept. So we cling to this concept that is the dependent nature. And on the basis of clinging to this concept, taking it to be truly existent and so forth, then these various sufferings arise. So like this dream situation in our waking life, this similar thing happens. Well, we get burnt by fire, we drowned in water, there are various sufferings that come to us because we push some people away and draw others near. And it is because we take this imaginary nature, these appearances that we have put out there, to be truly existent. And on the basis of that, then we attract or undergo various kinds of suffering. So then, one should take a look at it. What is it that's attracting this suffering? Who's the attractor of this suffering? And it is the concept. It is the concept that is the attractor of this suffering. And that's because we've taken these projections of the concepts to be truthful, to be real, to be something that's actually there. So when you're going through your day, look at how you bring on these various sufferings to yourself by taking these appearances around you to be truly existent. And you'll see that it's only you yourself that bring suffering upon yourself. It doesn't come from the outside in any way. It's you yourself who've made it for yourself.
Yapoha kogre. Ona donga kande se nyungre. Rang nam do drba. Tini malam je donga dao. Malam je donga dao re. Ta donga te malam je donga ta yi chi che kogre. Ni chi che kogre.
So then if we look at the way that we bring on suffering to ourselves by taking this imaginary nature to be real, and we can see into how this really works, then we'll see that this suffering doesn't truly exist. It's not really there. You can also look into the various causes or conditions that bring about suffering, and you can also see that those causes and conditions are not truly existent. And so, during the day, you'll be able to come and see, to see that the delusive projections of concepts are what suffering is. Suffering itself is nothing but these delusive concepts that we get attached to and take to exist. But actually, the situation is exactly the same situation as in a dream. It's all projected by our mind. So we have to come to a certainty about this, to really believe that this is the way it is, to be convinced that this is the way suffering arises.
Jurva Dunga the Sorva Devate Sorva Devate Jukun Jurva Sin and Dunga Chibichan and Jurva Dungare
ཁྱབ་དུ་ཅི་དུང་ཨ་དེ་ང་ཅི་སར་པོ་ཐོང་དུ་མ་རེ་དེ་ནི་ཕོང་པོ་ཡ་བ་སང་ཅི་དུང་ཨ་ཡ་བ་རེ་དེ་ན་རབ་དུང་ཨ་སོམ་ཅི་རེ་པ་དང་དེན་པ་རེ་ཡེ་མང་དེ་ད་ཡེ་མང་མ་མ་དེ་ཁར་རེ་ཡེ་མང་སེ་ཅི་དེ་པ་ཁ་ཁ་གོ་བང་གསོ་བང་ང་ཅི་ནམ་དོ་ན་ཅོ་པ་ཁུན་དོ་ན་ཅོ་པ་དེ་ཡེ་མང་རེ་ད་དེ་ལ
So, to turn to the dependent nature, the second one. The second one of the text says, and the defining attributes. And that's the part of the root text that relates to the dependent nature. And here, within the Buddhist tradition, suffering is usually defined under three different kinds. There is the suffering of suffering, and that relates to the actual feelings that we have, pain or whatever. And then there is the suffering of change, and that's due to the fact, for example, that once you're happy, it doesn't last very long. It immediately changes into something else. So it's that suffering of having to undergo change from a happy state into something that's not happy and so forth. So that's the suffering of change. And then there is all-pervasive suffering. That's the third kind. And that's something that we can't really see clearly. And it's a suffering that's based merely on the fact that we have five skandhas. So that's why it's all pervasive. So the dependent nature has all these three kinds of suffering. The actual dependent nature relates to concepts that arise through the force or through the influence of various kinds of habitual patterns, mental tendencies. And in that way, any suffering that arises in relationship to those is related to the dependent nature. So, this is a little different from the imaginary nature because that has to do with grasping onto the concept of suffering. It's suffering that comes through grasping onto a concept, clinging to a concept. Whereas here, it's merely the concept itself.
Tene yemang donga te phongpongal te be donga re phongpongal te do na le dan sem ni le te be donga re phongpo tam bo te le re yinda te sem ji ye ba re le dan sem le te be donga re le le te be donga te sem le te ba re le le jo wa yin de ba de tin ji phongpo re Same you ever capture Lula Donga, you were at this, and then Lula Tempe Donga. Malam Donga, so Luja Trunan, you read Donga, Lula Tempe Donga, that's our same Tempe Donga. Money Lula Donga, you are. Same to Donga, dear, then is same not Torva. I saw Torva, you read Torva, Deva, Donga, Tang, you saw, you read Torva Tela, yang dadu hinde mar hemba latene donga sumsena tene chobo donga de yin kanya yo mare donga de kunjo gusuba mare donga de deji zuba mare donga de jumi chemi le suwa mare ana karre maju donga de tene ranga nam do trup donga re ta go so
So to look more closely at suffering in relation to the dependent nature, it's suffering that's based on the five skandhas, this all-pervasive suffering, to take the most general category. And if one looks at the five skandhas, they can then be condensed into body and mind. The first skandha of form relates to the body, and the rest, feelings, perception, formation, and consciousness, those last four all relate to the mind. And actually, the suffering of the body, which relates to the first skandha of form, actually you can also see that as dependent on the mind. And how is that? Well, this body is made up of the four elements, and it's merely this heap of atoms. And this heap of atoms doesn't announce, oh, I'm suffering. It's the mind that clings to a self, clings to me and my. It's that mind that creates suffering based on the body. And so actually you could see all of the sufferings of the skandhas as related to the mind. When you die, for example, you don't have a body anymore, and that kind of suffering then ceases. It's also similar to the dream situation, where there you have the delusive appearance of a body, and that body feels. You think you're being hurt in the dream and so forth. You have all this kind of feeling, but those are merely created by the mind. There's really no suffering in the dream. And when we talk about feelings in relationship to the mind, you can talk about feelings of happiness or feelings that are pleasant, that are unpleasant, or that are neutral. And what happens is we have these experiences, and then on the basis of them, we grasp onto some self that's experiencing these feelings as really existing. And then the suffering begins. So basically, suffering is not something that comes from the outside. It's not created by a god. It's not created by some kinds of demons or maras. It doesn't arise from not having a cause. It doesn't arise causelessly or without any conditions. Suffering is the delusions of one's own conceptual mind.
Te dunga la dunga tang chuchin da chuni ji so den re ba re dunga chuchin re yong ro dunga ji chuni yin ba se no chuchin da chuni ji so do dunga den re ba ye ba re ma to yong ro rang ga ngo la dunga yo ma re dunga len de ba re
So then if one turns to the third nature, the perfectly existent nature, how is this related to suffering? And it's related to suffering in the way that a phenomena is related to its true nature. The technical terms are dharma and dharmin. So the phenomena, which is suffering, that we think we're experiencing, the essential nature of that phenomena, or its true mode of being, is really the perfectly existent nature. So this perfectly existent nature really isn't suffering in itself, but it's connected to suffering in the way that it is the true nature of suffering. But the perfectly existent nature in itself is beyond suffering. It transcends suffering.
Bhakya Drupa Namala Tope Dembar Hembai Donga Nato Lembale Yanda ton do dongami. Yanda ton tambe toni kariagre.
Nika yapudo.
Yanda ton do dongami. Yanda peton do dongami. Yate chichot.
Concepts, this is four lines. Concepts cling to the truth, to concepts as true. No, wait a minute. It has to be reversed. Okay. Concepts cling to as true. Concepts take to be true the delusive appearances of habitual tendencies. So concepts take to be true the delusive appearances of habitual tendencies. Thereby bringing on all kinds of suffering. Which ultimately, this suffering does not exist. So, one more time. Concepts take to be true the delusive appearances of habitual tendencies.
Last one.
Let's see. What did I say in the next line?
Thereby.
Oh, thereby. Right. I can't read my own handwriting. Thereby bringing on all kinds of suffering. Ultimately, this suffering does not exist. Voilà.
Bhagyan Turbha Na Vaila Dope De Marajin Bhai Nunga Na Tzulim Bhai Yitam Bhatun Do Do Engarame
Ya, Ta Chiran Tampu La Chitang Ching Dung Teh Nyam Bhatun La Tang Na Yang Tang Ma Khyajan Dung Na Yang Karakata
So Rinpoche wants me to sing it once and then we'll sing it together. Concepts take to be true the delusive appearances of habitual tendencies, thereby bringing on all kinds of suffering. Ultimately, this suffering does not exist. Maybe we should just sing it Dharma Dattas.
No.
Tanya Buddha.
Concepts take to be true. The delusive appearances of habitual tendencies, thereby bringing on all kinds of suffering. Ultimately, this suffering does not exist.
Then young Chinese of the Joker Kashila Gunda Nama no Gunda Serge Nama than no Jinjiti Yemon Juji Simji Yondrop Yehili Jackson Yang Yore Dorji take Pichoka Kashila Tendon.
So within some Vajrayana practices, you will also find the three natures. Believe it or not, there is a way of applying these to within this context. So how does that happen? The imaginary nature, the first one, is taken to be the world, our environment, what surrounds us. The dependent nature is taken to be its contents, or its essence, which are sentient beings. So that's the second one. And the third, the perfectly existent, is jnana, or primordial wisdom. So if you think this way while you're doing practice, that's also very good.
Meto gdai tingopori yemande Meto zungzi ni jitongbe Zungzi ni jitongba de yong dobre Tele yishi chike jama hebre Semtan yendong karasena chogre
Nikala togi wala
Nikala do chokyore Zungzi ni jitongba mato yishi li yayo mare
Naso Naso yeshi jana tene shendong chagir wala
Tene yendong chagir sam
Naso It's also possible to apply these three natures to any phenomena at all. It has a wide usage. So if you take the example of a flower, the flower that has been imputed by a concept, put out there by a concept, designated by a concept, that is the first nature, the imaginary nature. The basis of imputation for that flower, that is the dependent nature. And the perfectly existent nature is that which is empty of perceived and perceiver, or apprehender and apprehended, subject or object. And if one explains the third nature this way, that it is merely empty of dualistic perception, then this explanation fits both in the mind-only and the Shentong school. If one would posit the third nature, as we did before with in the Vajrayana context, as being Jnana or primordial wisdom, then that is the Shentong view. So that's where you can see a bit of a difference between the two schools. The mind-only school would see the third nature as empty of perceived and perceiver, but when you move into Shentong, that third nature then is defined as wisdom, primordial wisdom.
Then it's ngobo tamje la yana ngobo tamje jiming de kundare nam do ge tak pa yim chan de kundare ming da bi ye ming ju bi ye de ye ye de ngobo yim se na tene yemang re ngobo te zongze ni ji tong ba de zongze ni ji tong ba yong do re.
Then if you wanted to apply this to things, remember that's the technical term there, so you apply it to things, then the name for something is its imaginary nature. It's something that a concept has laid onto something, has labeled. It's conceptual labels then are the imaginary nature. The basis for that labeling, or the basis for the imputation of the name, is a thing. And that then is the dependent nature. It's a thing. It's something that can have an effect and can perform some kind of a function. Then the perfectly existent I said, well, we have to get to the perfectly existent. It's important. He said, yes, it's the most important. So how is it then, how is the perfectly existent in relation to this thing? It's that aspect of it that is free of or empty of or lacking or without perceived and perceiver.
Taking the Donga la Jana, Donga, he be main de Kundare. Donga, he be main you be yete, main you be yang omate, la. Mane, tell me yomare. Take main you be yete, yamare. Then it Donga Zungze ni jitumba. Zungze ni jitumba te yondore.
If you were to apply the three natures to suffering, the name suffering, or if you want to put suffering in like quotes, suffering in two quotation marks like that, that is the imaginary nature. And the basis on which one has stuck this name, actually, it doesn't really have a name at this point, but we call it the dependent nature. Because names relate to the imaginary nature, so there's no real name here, but we just call it the basis of imputation. And then as before, the the perfectly existent nature of suffering is that aspect of suffering that, which is empty of perceived and perceiver.
This is the Dungaji Ming Tela Nguma. Sik the Dunga Tavar Mato Dungaji Ming La Devata Yona. Young Devare. Devare.
So, suppose you had this experience to show that this name doesn't have any reality, any existence. Suppose you put the name suffering onto blissful experiences. Then it wouldn't exist then, would it, that way?
This is a main thing, you think you talk about it, main karata and a young degree. Deva la dunga minta, dunga la deva minta, dana yang degree.
So that's the way names are used in the world. There's no real logic for calling anything, really. You could call pleasure pain. You could call pain pleasure. There's no real, it's just a convention. It's just what we've all sort of agreed on to call something. But these names don't have any real relation to what things are.
Pala dava mingda, pomola, peme mingda, na yang de you.
Nikala tokiwala.
Nikala tan de you.
That's all.
You know, people look so la pala dava ming, pomola, peme mangatagri.
That's all. So, for example, you can have in Tibetan, there's a custom of giving, usually to boys, the name Adawa, which means moon. And one gives to young girls the name Pema or Lotus. But of course, they're not a moon and they're not a lotus.
They get the more Kakela Sanje Sigre, Sanje Jiming Dagre, Kakela Tara Gaming Dagre, Kakela Jambi Yang Gaming Dagre, and Dana Digre.
Some are given the name Buddha, Sanje. And some are given the name Tara, some are given the name Manjusri. You can give your children all kinds of names.
This is the meaning of Karatana Dig Devate, Tini Namdokatak by Imbasena Karatana Yang Digre. Muboran the meaning of Yomari.
So,
Nelo la Koram Muboran, the Nelo the meaning of Yomari.
So, whatever name you give is really okay. Because it's just something that is created by concepts. There's no real connection there. The true nature of things really has no name.
Dine malam to naso malam na so batam kapso ming da dagi ni ka ngene yo mare ina yo nam do thote dine ming dang dagi seru de yo pandawo sele yo pandawo thuke yo re Silly about our tour, till at the end of the day, Ta, Sova Madavana, Sova Embry. Sova Kandeo with the Chiran Sakovio, Malam Gangala Tangro, telling in the cake Jagu.
So, to show how to give a further example of the nominal nature of things, if you look in the dream, within the dream, what appears is both a name and its basis of imputation. Both of those appear within the dream. But as we know, within the dream, these are merely the delusions created by concepts. And through that conceptual delusion, we take these so-called things to have some kind of exterior existence, to exist outside in some kind of way. And once we do that, then there are all kinds of suffering that arise, various kinds of feelings that arise. Sorry, first there, you make this dualistic split, and then between those two things, various experiences arise, various kinds of feelings and so forth. And Rinpoche says you know that all very well. He doesn't have to go into detailed explanation. So actually, if you look at it, you can see that on this basis of imputation, if one looks at the basis of imputation itself, there's no name there. But there is this name that we've created, suffering, and which we cling to as somehow existent. But actually, it doesn't really exist. So actually, suffering doesn't really exist. It's something that concepts have fabricated, just like in the dream. And in the dream, we also think we're suffering, but we can see clearly in that situation that it's merely our concepts that have fabricated this suffering. But actually, it's all the time like that. We just don't see it. So by immersing ourselves in this totally conceptualized world, by being just submersed and existing there all the time, we cling continually to the imaginary nature as being truly existent, as actually something there. And through that, we create all kinds of weird sufferings for ourselves. And Rinpoche then gives the example, we tend to think in pairs of concepts that are opposite to one another, like hot and cold, and good and bad, and so forth. And one of the kinds of suffering that we create for ourselves has to do with the length of our lives. So we begin thinking about our lives, and we think, well, this life's going to be real short. And one worries then about having a really short life. But at that point, one doesn't worry about what it's like to get old and the whole process of aging. So, but then, if one worries about aging, what it's going to be like to not, you know, not be able to move around so fast, the brain's a little slower and so forth, if one worries about that, then this worry about a short life isn't present. So, in this way, we kind of set up situations where we propose to ourselves various kinds of suffering and think about one or about the other and what we're going to do and so forth, and make ourselves miserable that way.
Mare.
Yes, sir.
Dubna,
Denpa yinatani chikma tokshakari, yini dhugnyo takparishin.
Chikma to yunga.
Naso?
Kwa jorwa mandava zhudu gudwa.
Naso?
Tsaam dunga da tsokpa dunga nyiyamdu gudwa.
No.
Ote namtong trase batale.
Hmm.
Mane tsaama yina tsaam dunga mato, tsaama te tsokpa cha yunga dunga mato yunga marwa.
No.
Tsokpa yina tsokpa dunga mato yana tsaam dunga yunga marwa.
No.
Nyiyunga marwa. Nyiyunga te te nga tsa namtong trase batale.
Naso?
Taa kusama.
So another way of seeing how we delude ourselves with concepts that are existing as like dependent pairs is if one looks at the body, and we can either think of our body as being something unclean, it's got all this weird stuff inside, and so forth, blood and pus and snot and so forth. Or we can think of our body as something being very clean and which we wish to maintain this cleanliness. Then if the body became dirty in some way, then one would immediately want to get it clean again. And the fact that we have these two concepts, the fact of cleanliness and dirtiness, shows that this suffering is created by concepts. Because if there were really, in order to have some kind of suffering really to exist, there has to be just one, either cleanliness only or uncleanliness only. One has to have either one or the other. But since we flip between the two, since we continue, we can work with these two, and since the situation is continually changing within our mind, clean, unclean, clean, unclean, it's a sign that these states are merely something that's been created by concepts.
Jidunga yopate, nelo ngomate, luji nelo ngomate, tsama tsokpa nika lende pa nyamba nyi batare. Luji nelo ngomate nyam nyire. Malanto tsama ta tsokpa nika namto yungri inaya, malanti luti tsanto lende parava. Tsama yamare, tsokpa yamare nyam nyira. Tena yi ngatu lundala, namto mandava nyi yungate, tsanto lende pa nyamba nyi batare.
So by looking at these oppositional or contrary pairs of concepts, one comes then to understand that really things don't truly exist that way. In the true nature of things, the neluktanatune sangmadan sokpa nyampa nirala on sangmadan sokpa le deba.
で、ニャンバニーで、ニャンバニーで、ちゃんと連んでやばれ。ちゃんと2回言いすぎるまで。まそ。てね、ニャンバ、ニャンバに、うん、もうチックパドボ、てね、ニャンバに、こぎろわら。で、たまだとこからもう言うまで。ちゃんと連んでやばら、ニャンニーすぎる。まそ。でやぐれ。
So the true nature of things then is beyond cleanliness and uncleanliness, beyond those two. It is of a state of evenness or equality, nyampa ni, discussing. So it's the same situation as in a dream. Within a dream, a body can appear to be clean and not clean. But actually, if you think about it, that body within the dream, which is merely made up by concepts, is beyond being, transcends being dirty and clean. It is just sort of evenly, it's evenly there. It falls into neither one of those categories.
Yang xian duo bu dong a ni yu re.
Du zu la duo wa ma tu pa.
Du zu ren bo ye bu dong a.
Na so.
A bu zong a.
Du zu ren bo.
Xian de la du zu ren bo ye bu dong a da.
Na so.
Xian duo bu dong a ni yu re.
Na so.
De yang nam duo zhi bu da re. kase tutsu rinpo le dunga yona heba le dunga yungumare heba la dunga yona tutsu rinpo le dunga yungumare ina dunga nika yobare te nika yoba te yang namto dhukutare.
Then if one looks at time, suffering that is based on time, you could see it in two ways. One is that suffering that's based on a long life, or suffering that's based on dying, on going towards death. These two, when one has this first suffering, So it's the key word here is that if these were truly existent, for example, if one had this truly existent fear of suffering that one was going to live a long time, it would just continue on. Whereas if one also took to be truly existent this suffering of dying, of having to face death, then you couldn't be thinking about this other suffering of having a long life. The two kind of exclude, are mutually exclusive. So when you're focusing and taking to be truly existent this the fact that you might live, that you want to live a long time, you're totally sort of excluding the fact that death is going to come. So you're kind of stuck in one kind of concept without considering the other. If, on the other hand, you can also be stuck in just thinking about death, not thinking about long life, but thinking about death. And at that point, you are not thinking at all about the fact, you close out the fact of living a long life, what it might be like to live a long life. So because those two sort of mutually exclude each other, and one gets stuck in them, one brings upon oneself a great deal of suffering. So both these ideas of having a long life or having a short life are actually long and short are dependent on each other. The concept of one can't arise without the concept of the other. But of course, what happens is we either stay on often on one side of the concept or on the other side of the concept. But actually, you couldn't have one without the other. Just like you can't really know hot without cold. They're really dependent upon each other. And since they're dependent upon each other in this way, they don't ultimately exist. So if you look at another example of a child, for example, and how time is for a child. And a child is always wanting time to go quickly. They want to get big fast. You know, when am I going to be big like other people? When am I going to be an adolescent? They're happy when time goes fast, and they're unhappy when time seems to be going so slow. On the other hand, if you look at an old person, they want time to go real slowly. They don't want time to go fast. They want things to last. So when time goes, when they have this sense of life going by too fast, they're unhappy. And when there's a sense of expansiveness, or maybe there's more time, you know, then they're happy. So you can see that the sense of time is completely relative. It's really dependent on our concepts and where our mind is at.
So that's
a brief explanation of suffering in relation to the three natures.
Lodo Namji Kapso Dungan Koba Dungan Gumgu Yere Te Parchir Kundaga Dungan Gomba Dawa Yere. Samsang Yamang Dungan Yang Gumgu Yere.
Mangchewa
Kundaga Dungan Dawa Yere.
So, it's important to think about this suffering in a lot, to come to understand how it is that it arises. And within the four thoughts that turn the mind, there is a meditation on suffering and impermanence. And most of the suffering that we undergo is this imaginary suffering, you know, like 99.99%. And every once in a while, we get a glimmer of dependent suffering, what dependent suffering is like. But most of the time, we're in this first imaginary nature.
The Dhammata of
suffering is the perfectly existent nature. If you meditate on this perfectly existent nature, then prajna will become manifest. And the suffering that arises from taking the imaginary nature to be real
and from the delusions in relation to the dependent nature, those will be dispersed. And one will then come to experience this primordial wisdom, this jnana, that is the perfectly existent nature. Three times.
Attracting suffering and the divine attributes and related which is stated differently from the previous two, attracting suffering and the defining attribute and related which is stated differently from the previous two, attracting suffering and the defining attributes and related which is stated differently from the previous two.
By the confidence of the Golden Sun and the Great East, may the Lord describe the radiance, wisdom, bloom, and that our ignorance of sentient beings be dispelled. May all beings enjoy profound, brilliant glory.
Mandalambo,